Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia L. Khoury.
And I'm Cathy Weston. Very warm welcome. Tonight's topic, Lyd, is all about boys' education. Do boys need a different pedagogical approach? Do our teachers need to teach them differently to girls? Should boys really go to a single-sex school? What's best for them? Should they go to a co-ed school? Lots and lots of questions around, you know, you and I were discussing recently about the media has been saying for years about the underachievement of boys nationally in our schools. And we're sort of trying to unpick that topic tonight and ask if you are parenting a boy, is there sort of information that you require or should be made available to you? And we're going to do that with the help of our great local expert. We've got David Bullock sitting beside us from Verulam School in St Albans. Welcome, David.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome.
A very popular local school. And we'll be getting David's take on it in just a little while. But before then, we were talking to Trevor Lloyd earlier in the day, who is a developmental psychologist and is also leading a project called in Peckham for development of boys. So we're going to listen to the chat we had with him in just a little while. But it's about motivating boys. It's figuring out what makes them tick, isn't it, Kathy?
And what differs from girls? What is it that we need to understand about their development? How can we as parents motivate them to learn effectively? And how can we do the best for them when we're doing their homework with them? How can we help them aspire to be the best that they can be? What are the top tips that we really need to understand as parents?
Now, joining us on the Parents Show this evening, we're talking to Trevor Lloyd, who is a developmental psychologist and project leader for the Boys Development Project in Peckham. Trevor, thanks for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
So, Trevor, can tell us a little bit, I mean, just very basically, how do boys differ from girls developmentally?
Briefly, you say. probably more importantly, yeah, there's very little you can actually say about all boys, all girls. What's more significant are certain characteristics that impact enormously on education. And some of those characteristics we see more in boys than girls. And that's why the focus has often been on boys.
Right. And could you tell us a little bit about the kind of characteristics you're talking about?
Probably the most important characteristic in terms of getting a good education is strong communication skills. And what we see when boys come into school is that more boys lack communication skills than girls. So it's very common for you to have a classroom where there might be 7, 8, 9 of the girls very strong communicators, possibly 3, 4 of the boys. So it's not as though all boys are poor communicators. That's very much an old view, biological view, really doesn't hold up when it comes to being in the classroom. But what you do get is maybe 6 or 7 of those boys who are not strong communicators in as low as reception class.
And communication is obviously, it's vital in children's development.
Yeah, in terms of development, what communication skills often lead to is an easier discipline. So when you get articulate verbal children, you often can discipline them verbally. Whereas when you get more particularly active boys who are low verbal, that combination of characteristics is often enough to not confine them to underachievement, but certainly indicate the possibilities.
Right. And
And what are the biggest psychological differences between boys and girls in their development?
In relation to education?
Yeah, and yes, exactly.
Well, the differences are relatively low. Yeah, we've made a lot of over the years all sorts of things. You know, girls talk, women talk, and men read maps. You know, there's all that business, right-sided, left-sided brain, which for most people, certainly neuroscientists these days, is seen as very old theory. But what they're often looking at is a combination between genes, what we're born with, and experience. And it's experience that starts to map the brain in a way that 10, 15 years ago we thought a number of things were hardwired, which turn out to be very softwired. So if you get gender conditioning these days, if we think girls should talk, boys should be on the move, then that will impact on those particular individual children.
I see. So really, as parents, we shouldn't have any preformed ideas. We shouldn't assume that boys need more exercise than girls, and that girls are, it's okay to, you know, leave them sitting and drawing and let the boys run out into the garden. Like, we should push them in both directions.
Well, what's strongly coming out of the neuroscience is that children up to 10 or 11 need the broadest range of experience that we can possibly. So it means that a child at four, a boy at four in reception, who spends most of his time outdoors on the Duplo table or on the small world table or on the computer, is getting a very narrow experience. So those children need to be encouraged to sit, table work, drawing, whole range of different things, and vice versa. So if you get a girl who's reluctant to go outdoors, then to give her the broadest range of experience, she needs to be encouraged to be out.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's nice and simple for us parents.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Good, clear guidelines. Just push them in every direction. Don't accept that they're an indoor child or an outdoor child.
Absolutely. If the parent says to me, my child reads for 7 hours a day, alarm bells are going on in my head.
Right.
Because if you're spending any time, you know, that amount of time on any day on any one activity, you're not getting stimulation in a whole range of other ways.
Fantastic. That's great. So if let's move that into education. So is a single sex education better for boys, or just some boys, or not at all?
The traditional view has always been single sex education is good for boys. Sorry, good for girls. And mixed education is good for boys.
Uh-huh.
Now, we reviewed the literature about 4 years ago now, and it's much, much more contradictory than that. What you do get from the literature very strongly is that when girls are in girls' schools, single-sex schools, they tend to make more adventurous options. So there are more girls, for instance, doing maths and science within girls' schools than there are in mixed schools. And the other side is that within boys' schools, more boys opt for English and drama, traditional female subjects, supposedly. So what you see within single-sex education, often girls, boys making more broad-ranged choices, not necessarily doing any better, because, of course, most of our single-sex education environments are selective.
And so they tend to be more adventurous, but how about behaviourally? Like, are boys pushed more to the limit with girls in their class, or are they just messing most of the time and distracted by them?
A small proportion, but within, and then it depends what age we're talking. Gender does become much more of a prominent issue 12, 13, 14. And so the interactions between girls, boys in secondary schools can be much, much more distracting to both. When you look at primary, once children are past the period of 2 till 4, when they're very much preoccupied with gender, they tends to become much more a background issue.
Okay.
So within primary, the impact is much lower.
So we had Steve Biddulph on the show last year, and he was very much in favour of the diamond method of schooling, where you keep them together in primary, take them apart for the beginning of secondary, and then bring them back for the last couple of years of school. What do you think about that?
I think that there are periods where, I think managed properly, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
The bottom line, one thing we know about education generally, is the higher expectations we have, the more we get. Now, what that means is that if we expect children to focus on their education, then they're much more likely to happen, whether it's mixed or otherwise. And the issue we've got is not so much those different environments being better or worse, is that you just get different issues occurring in boys' schools and mixed schools. So within mixed schools, children may get distracted by each other, but then within single-sex environments, there's more possibility of there being a little bit more threat. You know, the playground takes a very different form within a single-sex environment than it does a mixed.
That's really interesting. And is a different way of teaching required for boys? Or is there a wrong way to teach boys?
We did some experiments a few years ago as to who do you need to target within a class to ensure that everybody gets a good shake. And what was interesting was that when we start, so we purposely organised certain lessons to target primarily particular small groups within a class. And what we found was that if we focused more on slightly underachieving boys, most people got a lot out of it. There are certain things, this is complex, I'm trying to simplify something that's actually very complex, but for instance, what we know from girls is that they squeeze out as much as they possibly can from poor teachers.
Right.
So what it means is that you don't have to worry quite so much about most girls, not all girls, but most girls, because they will ask and ask and ask until they find out what they want. Boys tend to turn off much quicker and easier. So if they don't get on well with the teacher, they'll go off the subject.
Great. Well, that's very clear. That is very clear. So the teacher is key, which is obviously no surprise.
The teacher is critical. And what's also something that's viewed as being fairly, we all think that male role models, males in boys' life, for instance, make a massive difference. And within certain conditions and time frames, that's true. But actually, when you look at education, the statistics tell us that boys and girls don't do any better with the same sexed, the same gendered teacher. So males in secondary do not necessarily get more out of boys because they're males and the boys are males. The research and the evidence doesn't tell us that at all. So some of these issues are much, much more complex than we think they are.
Right. And is there anything we as parents can do to support our children? I can see that a lot of it is out of our hands, and it's about over through dynamics that we don't really have any influence or control over. But what would be your top tips for parents of boys?
I disagree with that. Certainly up until 11, again, what the evidence tells us is that home has a much, much more bigger impact on children's education than vice versa. So most things, certainly up to 7 or 8, school influences what goes on in the classroom. Most of my work is focused on reception in year one, and most of my work, therefore, is focused towards parents, because it's a disproportionate impact that they have on the classroom, and certainly in terms of classroom and effort. As you get to 10, 11 and further, what you tend to find is the impact of friends is much stronger than family. And then things start to change and can get quite tricky. So to a large extent, that would suggest that for parents, the best advice you can be giving is make sure your boy's got really strong communication skills. Make sure that he knows how a school works and what he'll get out of school, and certainly make sure that that you're encouraging him to have higher expectations as possible. And all those foundation years will set that in place where the influence of peers and other factors will not play such an important part once he gets to secondary.
Great, Trevor, that is really valuable hints and tips for parents out there. Trevor, thank you very much for joining us on the Parents Show this evening.
You're welcome.
Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, that was Trevor Lloyd, who is a developmental psychologist, talking to us about boys and how their learning works and how we can best get the most out of them, what the differences are between girls and boys and how we need to treat them. Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined today by the Deputy Head of Verulam Boys School, David, who's in the studio with us now. Thank you for joining us, David.
No problem. Thanks for asking me.
Tell us, what did you think about what Trevor Lloyd was saying about boys' development?
It's very interesting. I liked what he said about the broad range of choices. That was very interesting. I've worked actually in two boys' schools, which again is quite rare. Lots of people don't necessarily work in boys' schools. I worked at John Lyon School in Harrow, which is an independent boys' school, when I first started teaching, and have been at Verulam now for 4 years. What he said about the broad range choices is totally true. It's interesting what he said about girls being attracted to those science and maths. And certainly we've seen at Verulam, you know, boys are attracted to non-necessarily boys subjects, such as food technology is incredibly popular. But English, they do exceptionally well. It's our strongest subject. Whereas if you read a lot of Twitter and newspapers, they would say that boys reading is a real problem, and literacy. Whereas at our school, we don't have that. Now, following on from what Trevor said, you know, why is that? We have a fantastic department is one reason, but also the boys are encouraged to read, and we read boys at a very boy-centered reading, so they like reading about fights and murder and adventure and excitement and mystery. So we can tailor what the boys read based on what they want. So therefore, in the texts we're delivering, the books that are chosen for different key stages, they can be very much boy-centered, which then hooks the boys in and really gets them reading. One thing he did mention about parents, you know, certainly, you know, obviously we're talking about parents here, what they can do. The one thing I would suggest, I actually spoke to the headmaster at school, Paul Ramsey, today about it, was about reading with them. Read with your son at home.
Even at secondary level, which people
at
often very much
yeah,
forget
at
about.
All levels. We do talk about it when we have information evenings for parents, and the fact that some parents think they get to secondary school and their job's done.
Yeah.
And others think that they get then to sixth form and their job's done. You know, those parents out there have got students at university, your job's never done. I have a year four son myself, and the last, I would say, 18 months, he's really got into reading. And so I read with him, he reads to me. Him and I read together, so what he catches me reading, and I think there was a really good advertising campaign a few years ago, which was Get Caught Reading, which they had a lot of sportsmen.
That's so nice.
And it was fantastic. And so it's really just trying to read with your son and you know, let him feel that reading's normal, which is what we really encourage with our parents. And it's, you know, we have silent reading before every English lesson. They have 5 minutes just private reading, just as a nice settling activity, which they bring in and bring their own books in, which is great.
Now, tell us, I know Verulam have done very well on the data front, you know, in all the stats tables this year. You're obviously very good at motivating your boys.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about motivating boys generally, and also what parents can do to encourage perhaps a reluctant reader.
It's quite interesting what Trevor was talking about, in terms of single sex against co-educational. Obviously, we did speak off air just about sort of value added and what that means to parents. To sort of explain it in layman's, if the school achieves a value added of 1,000 for as a school or for that cohort of students in year 11, it suggests that the grades they should have got, they got. So when they started in year 7, they should have got you know, X amount of A's and C's.
And this is the figure that you see in the school data table that you might search for on the BBC website or something.
Raise Online.
That's called a value-added score.
Value-added, yeah. It used to be contextual value-added, but that context was taken away, so it's now value-added. So free school meals, etc., those sort of contexts, where the school was based, was sort of factored in. Now it's just value added. Nationally, boys achieve 990 value added, which suggests they do slightly less than they should, and girls achieve significantly higher than that. Whereas a value, we're above 1,000, you know, towards 1,010. So we're adding huge value to the boys in terms of their, you know, we're very fortunate. I'm very fortunate as deputy head to work with some fantastic staff. Teachers at Verulam are brilliant. You know, we've probably got the best set of staff we've ever had. And it does make a huge difference because boys will switch off so quick. If the teaching isn't good, they will just switch off. Girls will be a lot more passive and a lot more resilient, and they'll sort of, oh, come on, help her out, don't be naughty. Whereas boys will just completely switch off, which I thought was quite interesting what Trevor said.
Yeah, exactly. I was really surprised by that because I didn't
good teaching in boys' schools or to boys is so important. You know, just sort of one anecdote I was talking about was I have a son and a daughter. I'm very fortunate. My daughter is really bright. My son has to work hard. He's an August boy, so he sort of struggles a bit. We actually have a tutor for him, which, you know, he's only year four, but that's not to make him the best in the group, it's just to give him a chance. And he has a male tutor and he absolutely loves him. Once a week for an hour, but the last 2 years he's had a male teacher and it's made a massive difference. He absolutely, and they've been brilliant teachers at his primary school, and it's made a massive difference.
You said a lovely phrase in the break, which I want to remind people of, which is Tony Little, I think you mentioned, with the head teacher at Eton, said the difference between girls and boys was that girls need to, or boys need to be driven to learn, but girls can walk to learn, is that right?
Yeah, in terms of boys need motivating, they need engagement all the time, because I studied at Loughborough. I was a PE teacher in my youth, and I remember I was taught by a woman, Brenda Reed, who was amazing, and she said is that the most important thing with boys is the bridge. And we were sort of standing, what do you mean? And the bridge between learning activities, if there's no bridge, that gap will be filled with bad behaviour by boys. They will talk, they will go off task, low-level disruption, etc. Whereas if you bridge that and it's a seamless transition between activities, the boys will just get on with it.
Right.
Whereas if you don't bridge that... Now, if girls don't have a bridge, they'll just sit there quietly until the next activity. Boys won't. They'll talk, they'll chat, they'll mess around, etc. You know, I'm obviously being generalising here.
Yeah.
But so the bridging organisation is so important to motivate boys and keep them on pacey, engaging, high tempo lessons, which they enjoy.
Now, a teacher got in contact with us today and was mentioning a lot of the strategies Trevor uses in schools in Lewisham, she actually uses here in Hertfordshire. Now, one of the things she mentioned was that boys need to literally need to look them in the eye and direct them towards activities. They need that kind of almost a tap on the shoulder, and especially in a younger age group, and told what to do, and they're very responsive to that.
Yeah, clear
guidelines. Would you agree with that?
Clear guidelines.
Very clarity, lots of clarity.
Yeah, we do an interesting thing. A chap at our school called Ross Morby is a fabulous teacher, and we had a system, a behaviour for learning system, whereby the boys get consequences or rewards. When I started, I'd come from working in a sports college, and we looked at ways of engaging boys and so on. So every boy starts with 1,000 points at the start of the year. Every time they get a consequence, they lose 5 points. Every time they get a reward, they go up. And then if they get a C1, it's -5, C2, -10, etc. And R1 and R2, they go up. Now, to be eligible for trips and rewards, they have to be above 1,000. So therefore, it gives the boys a really clear target for where they are. Now, if, say, for example, a boy was, say, 850 or 900 and wasn't doing well, between the meetings with parents, you could say to him, right, I want you to get 50 points in the next 2 weeks. And it gives them a clear target. It's a nice parameter to work in.
Fantastic.
The boys can work towards
it. They know where they stand.
Exactly.
And they know where they have to be.
But our parents know as well, because all our systems are live. So you see it live. So as a parent, you see the Serco live. So you can see whether your son was in class, what his last reward was, and so on and so on.
That's fantastic.
And the great motivator about that is that it can change daily.
Absolutely.
You know, because I know the reward system with my son's school, it's only primary school, but it's based on, it's like star of the week or star of the day, and it seems to them a bit random and nebulous, and they don't quite they don't quite get it, you know, whereas something specific like that with points, obviously they're too young to do the 1,000 points with. But they love their stars,
their star charts, all those sort of things. Now, as parents, and I'm sure lots of parents who are listening to this show, they're probably good parents. And they'll no doubt have star charts and rewards for their sons and daughters and so on, and stickers on the wall and all those sort of things, which naturally I think good parents do. You know, certainly we do it with my wife and I. My wife's a teacher. But the kids have no break at all. No chance at all. No. It's like a staff room in the kitchen.
And Davis, tell us a little bit about expectations, because obviously a lot of the parents listening are very aspirational for their children. What is it wrong, right, to say to your child before he goes to school in the morning, work hard today, I expect good grades from you? If they're, you know, what do you expect of your parents to be saying to their children?
And we have a phrase that we use, and I don't want you to be the best, I want you to try your best. And that's quite an interesting one, I think, with boys. Certainly I've spoken to some parents, you know, from the school. And sometimes you go to an information evening or certainly Year 6 induction, they talk about Oxbridge and so on. And you may be sitting there as a parent and know your son or daughter's never going to go to Oxbridge. And it alienates you. The reality is the expectations have to be the best that they can achieve. I can't set you to go to Oxford, because not everyone goes there. It's you know, it's one of the best universities in the world. So therefore, it's got to be realistic. You've got to set them really, but it is about high expectations. You know, at Verulam, we very much, you know, it's all about standards, high standards. You know, it's about doing your top button up. It's about having your shirt tucked in. It's those basic fundamentals. And certainly, you know, it's a phrase, the boys laugh, but you see a boy with a shirt and you'll look at him and go, sorry, sir. And it's that, it's quite interesting. It's quite funny. The boys are great. Even our school magazine's called Top Button, you know, and that
and was David,
chosen
why does that matter? Why does it, I mean, I tell my 7-year-old to tuck his shirt in and I often think, I wonder why? You know, he's more comfortable with the shirt out. He's 7. If he's comfortable learning without the shirt in, so what? Why does it matter when you're running a school for that sort of order to be in place?
For example, if you go to any school, if they have a mufti day, which, you know, we called it, or a non-school uniform day, if you speak to any head teacher, behaviour will fall on that day. Because students behave differently because they're in their own clothes. It's as simple as that. Now, I've been to schools, I've visited some local schools, and I've done some training in a range of schools outside of St Albans and Harpenden. And, you know, I was shocked by the staff dress. And then as soon as I went into school, the student dress was just a bit of a shambles. And I'm thinking, how is a member of staff, you know, at Verulam, it's formal dress, everyone, men, women, students. How can I challenge a student on the way he looks if I don't look smart? And looking smart is just a preface to being smart, to looking like a good learner. It's just part of it.
I suppose it's a reflection that you're taking your learning seriously.
Yeah, we're very proud of the boys. You know, the boys at Verulam, they look fantastic. And if you go to any good school, St Albans Boys, you know, Sandringham, all those local schools, you know, fantastic schools, the uniform's really important because it's a cultural thing. It's an identity. You know, you think about culture and it's about the norms and values that a school adopts or an institution adopts. You know, certainly as a PE teacher in every school I've worked in, you know, PE department at Verulam's fantastic. You know, they all look brilliant in their kit because we're all the same culture. We all believe the same thing. We look the same. The boys identify with us. You know, we have these little 51p badges that the staff wear. It's quite interesting that when my wife went to a trip and they had these badges, and I loved them, and I said to Paul, the headmaster, I said, how can we get them? He said, David, come up with a way of getting it in. So we have our celebration evenings, and what we do is our school motto is the goal is excellent, and we give the boys on celebration a badge. It's a small badge, they wear it on their blazer, and it means they've attained the goal of excellence. And it doesn't matter what you got it for, because everyone is the same. And I suggested to the staff, would they like one? And every single master said, yeah, I'd love one. So all the staff now wear it. And it's just a little touch like that that make you feel part of a community. And certainly, you know, I'm not going to lie, I absolutely love working at Verulam. It's a fabulous place to work. And I've been there 4 years and I enjoy every day. And the boys are great because we're all part of the same team.
Can I just, in case anybody has just tuned in, we're talking to David Bullock, who's the deputy head of Verulam Boys School. Verulam School, you don't say boys, you don't. It's just Verulam School. Now, I just want to jump onto social media for a second. We've got a bit of a discussion going on Facebook, and Jemima has written in, we were asking who's going for single sex and not, and she said, we went for single sex school for our son, Verulam. I had mixed school for him until we looked around schools. Was best choice we ever made for him. I felt it was a real confidence boost for him. Best choice ever.
Brilliant. That's good to hear.
So, lovely. Is she a friend of yours, David?
She's my sister. That's good to hear. You know, it's quite interesting. I was. We had induction days, and we have parents come around with their sons. And a parent said to me, why should I send my son to Verulam? And I said, because you think it's the best school for your son. I'm not going to persuade you. It's got to be the best school for your son. It's got to be one that he feels he can achieve well in. And if it isn't, then don't choose us. You know, I remember 4 years ago when I started, we had, maybe 110 first choices. You know, we've now got over 230 first choices because, you know, the school's doing very well. We've got some fabulous parents. You know, we have 95, 96% attendance to parents' evening. You know, if you fill your school with first choices, it's a totally different culture because the boys want to be there, the parents want to be there, they support you. And we've seen that massive culture shift over the last 4 or 5 years since Paul took over as headmaster. And our parents support us, and the boys know that, that they're on board. So it does make a huge difference.
David, can I just pull you back to something we mentioned? It was something Trevor mentioned and you touched on it briefly, but I'd like to hear more about what you think.
Yep.
It says about high expectations.
Yep.
Like, why does that surprise me? I don't know why it surprised me, but why is it so important to have high expectations for boys?
It's quite interesting. Ofsted in 2003 reported that successful teachers of boys challenge them to succeed independently within a context of support and collaboration. Teachers have to set the agenda. You have to set the agenda for boys and say, this is what I expect. It's quite interesting that if you set the agenda, you set the ethos in the classroom, the boys will just meet that. That's all it is. If you say it's there, they'll meet that. If you say it's there, you'll meet that. If you set a target of a boy of a C, he'll get a C. If you set it as a B, he'll get a B. You know, it's about setting high expectations, challenging them, because it's quite interesting. If you think back to sort of open-ended, as obviously we spoke about earlier, if you set an open-ended task to a girl, she'll just write. And she'll write and she'll write. My daughter writes, she's six and she writes for hours. My son, if I set an open-end task, he would write the minimum and then stop. So it's important to set boys like writing frames, give them clear parameters. This I want you to write first of all, this next. You know, and that's from year 7 to sixth form. My year 13s, you know, same thing, writing frames, give them clear P chains that they can work in, make a point, explain it, give an example. You know, boys respond so well to that. And you set them expectations, and they will meet them. But if you lower your standards, they'll meet them too.
David, what about carrots? I'm a terrible one for offering carrots. I've got 2 boys, 4 and 7, but I'm always offering them all sorts of incentives,
yep,
mostly food ones, to do things.
Yep.
What's your view on incentives generally?
Motivation is a key thing. Yeah, we have our sixth form. You know, I'm the same with my son. I say to him, you know, if we do this, we can get this, and so on. But it's more about relationships. It really is about relationship with boys. You know, boys respond really well. You know, I've taught some fabulous boys. Joe Kenneford tweeted me earlier. He said, please mention me. And I remember Joe, who's a great lad, he's at Leeds now doing journalism. And just the relationship we had, you know, he came and saw me, helped some advice for his interview at Leeds. We talked about it. I set him some work. He went away. He came back. We talked again. And so, and when he went to Leeds, he absolutely aced it because he bothered to go and work it. But the relationship we had was so positive that he came and, you know, seek advice and then acted on it. And it's very much about that, you know. And if boys want to do it and you create an environment where they want to do it, they will. But relationships are really important.
So really what you're saying is school culture matters greatly, because if they're not in a culture that has high,
yeah,
expectations or has an understanding of how to motivate them, they'll just flatline.
Yeah, of course. And as parents in St Albans and Harpenden, we're very fortunate in the fact that there's lots and lots of fantastic schools. You know, we're in a consortium with Beaumont and Sandringham, both excellent schools. At sixth form, we work very closely. We work very closely with Watford Grammar School. Martin Post, who was on your show, you know, Martin's an amazing head teacher. Martin's done a huge amount. We work very closely with that school. We have the heads of department go over there. They have assistant heads come over to us. You know, and it's really important.
I think that's a big selling point for Verulam, because people don't actually understand that heads work often in collaboration or in a mentoring relationship,
yep,
like that. And I think to know that Verulam is being mentored by one of the best schools in the country.
Martin Post is arguably one of the best head teachers in the country. He's an amazing head teacher. He's done a fabulous job for us as a school. Certainly Paul knows him very well. He used to work at Watford. You know, my headmaster's only ever worked in boys' schools.
Yeah.
You know, and boys are different. Boys are different. They learn different. They behave different. They act different. And we get that.
And that's it. You've actually just mentioned the next question I wanted to raise. They behave different. How do you manage boys' behaviour to get the best out of them? Because like as the mom of a 5-year old, I desperately need to crack this one.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. People assume it, when we do tours, people assume it's going to be really noisy at Verulam, because you know, we've got 1,100 boys. When if you walk around the classrooms, it isn't. It's really purposeful. Now, during changeover, boys will be chatting and it will be loud. But then they'll go into classrooms and they'll, boom. Now, we have a thing called the Verulam lesson, where we have a clear sort of boundaries. Actually, when Paul took over his head, it's the first thing he brought in. And it was just a very clear, consistent message that everyone followed. So the boys get into routines. You know, I don't know, you know, with your sons, if you change your son's routine, my son will be a nightmare. You know, if I change my daughter's routine, she'll be fine. You know, think about putting your son and daughter to bed at night. My daughter is one story, night, dad, quick kiss, bye. See you later. My son is, tell me about your day, dad. Tell me about my day. Can I read? Can you read to me? Will you sit with me? And all this sort of procrastination, to because they just behave differently. Now, if we change his routine, it'll upset him. It'll push him off completely off kilter. It'll change him completely. And so it's about routines. It's about consistency. It's about rigor, making sure that everyone's doing the same thing so the boys get used to it. And also, interestingly, our behaviour for learning system, more often than not, we say to boys, you know, if they have done something wrong, why? What do you think that was? And the boys are usually harsher than we are. They say, I think it was that. So I think it was a C3. And you say, well, I don't think it was a C3. It was a C2. Okay. And so the boy, it's transparent. The boys understand the rules, set them clear parameters, but don't break them. If you're saying that's what it is, that's what it is. Don't change it. So don't, you know, it's quite interesting. If a boy gets a detention, for example, and then during a lesson, some people may say, well, if you behave well, I'll take that away. Don't take it away. He's got the detention. But you can get a reward. So you can still get a reward, but that's in. Because if you start doing that and teachers start saying, well, such and such did that, or the other teacher didn't do that. Like, imagine, you know, how many times have your son said, well, mum said I can do that, mm-hmm. or dad mm-hmm. said I can do that. And if, as soon as mum and dad start saying different things, that's it. And yeah. Exactly the same with teachers. You know, if teachers say different things, you're lost.
And how about the way you talk to kids? Is cross the right way to go with boys?
Don't shout.
Right.
You know, I know it's difficult. Don't shout. Shouting doesn't work. You know, we do a lot of staff training. You know, I do a lot of that. And if you shout, if you've gone up to a shout, you've lost it. Because where are you going to go from there? You know, there's nowhere else to go. It's got, you know, interestingly, boys respond very, very well to a quiet voice. Come over here, let me talk to you. What's going on? Why has that just happened? It's not good enough. That's not what I expect. Those basic will respond. Shouting doesn't work. That's the most important thing. And no matter how stressed you are, shouting doesn't work. Not with boys.
It's you're losing control. And if you lose control of boys, that's the feeling I've got, is that you lost.
Like, yeah, you can be assertive. You know, you can be assertive, but don't lose control.
There's some lovely tips which you've brought into the studio with you tonight, David, on behaviour management, which are really useful to parents, such as, you know, clarity of instruction. Yeah. You've written at least 3 times. What does that mean?
It's just so important. It's got to be.
It gives them 3 chances, but tell them exactly. Don't change the rules, and then be aware of your body language.
Yeah, in terms of certainly when parents get annoyed, you know, you tend to get closer. Your very arms all over the place. Certainly with boys, that can be dreadful. Interesting strategy we use at Verulam, and I've used sort of in a number of schools, which I encourage all teachers to do, is that if you've had a negative experience with a boy. At that point, don't necessarily challenge it. He will go to his next lesson. You may be free in a couple of lessons' time. Find out where that boy is and go and pull him out of that lesson and just talk to him and say, why did that happen? It's quite interesting that boys respond really well to that. Because first of all, they think, how do you know where I am? which is quite interesting. But then they've calmed down because they're completely out of that environment and therefore they behave totally differently.
Yeah,
and
nice.
You go and see them because you've had time to reflect as well. And then it's a conversation, and boys respond really well to that. If someone sets a detention or so, for example, say you as a parent you tell your son off, that relationship with you and him is broken down. So sometimes it's better to go, I'm gonna leave this now. I'm gonna come back. You know, the whole, you know, time out, sit on the naughty step, all those sort of things. You know, it just different ways of doing that, really.
The next one on the list is shower praise, publicly and privately, which is very nice.
So important, so important. Saying well done. You know, at our school, it's the reward system is used hugely. Consequence system, not often. If you encourage people to reward boys, boys respond so well. You know, I have a young man in year 11 who I teach RE to, who's had a few problems, and he got a B for his mock. And I was so proud of him. I said well done in front of all the other boys. I pulled him aside when he had his results. I spoke to him again. I've emailed his parents. And he came up to saw me and said, thanks so much for doing that. I said, that's really nice of you. And I went, no, it's really nice that you did so well. And he got his early English as well yesterday. And he's on top of the world. You know, he feels $1 million because someone's bothered to say well done.
Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, there's a great quote which says, you might be the only person to say something nice to that boy. You know, and that's quite interesting. No, so be nice, smile, be friendly, say hello.
Now, what about the next one? Certainty rather than severity in sanctions.
Yeah, don't go too big. Don't go too big too early. Parents, don't go, you know, if he's done something wrong, or don't go to the end of the earth, you know. Just bring it back. You know,
you're not getting any Christmas presents this year.
Yeah, that is it.
You're never going to
university is
ever
off the chart. That's it. I'm taking your Xbox away. I'm taking your TV. I'm taking all the books out of your room. All those sort of, don't go too big. Because remember, where else do you go? What are you going to kick him out? He's six.
Yeah.
So don't be too severe. Remember, they're just children.
I'm actually going to cut it out and put it on my fridge.
Yeah. But do you know what? It's quite interesting. They may be big children. Like, you know, I couldn't imagine working in a primary school. But they could maybe big children, but they're just children.
Yeah.
And you know, more often than not, you know, they're struggling with their own battles and their own challenges, and you need to be aware of that. You know, I've worked with some huge boys, and you know, some of them I still keep in contact with from Lee Valley, and you know, they're great kids. And I still keep in touch with them, and they're great.
I don't think we can let the fact that you used to be a PE teacher.
I still am.
But I want to ask you about physical sport for boys. What would you say in general to parents about the importance of physical education? But also, what sort of activities, if you've got a kid at home who's, you know, got huge physical strength and he seems motivated in sport, how can parents, what's your best advice to them about that?
It's quite interesting. I spent a week at Stags a few weeks ago on an internship, which is a fabulous school as well locally, and it's quite interesting that they have lots of places where girls sit and chat, and they facilitate that because that's what girls like doing. So the canteen has chatting, the hall has chatting, they have an outdoor chatting area. It's quite interesting. Whereas at Verulam, the boys like running. So at lunchtime, boys run around. That's what they do. So you need to create environments where they can run around and do things and let off steam, and so that when they come back in, they're ready to go. They need to sort of have that catharsis to sort of, you know, get it off their chest. If you've got a son who, you know, get him involved in a club, get him involved in a sport, as well as the physical benefits, the social benefits, the mental benefits. It'll build confidence. They'll be part of a team. It'll be competition. Boys like competition. They like the challenge. We had a boy a few years ago who got a full scholarship at Eton. And at Eton, there's 240 boys in a year. They ranked them 1 to 240. And when he started, he was 198. He came in the other week. He's now 23rd.
Oh,
that's what they do. And it's quite interesting. But the boys love it. Now, we do lots of assessments at our school. The boys really enjoy it. But in terms of sport, you know, get them involved in as much as they can. But take them. Go with them. Watch them. Reward them. Say well done. Say how proud you are of doing it. You know, they don't have to all play for England. They just have to enjoy it. You know, participation is more important. You know, spending time with your son doing things. That's what it is most important. So that you build up relationships, which, you know, how often do some of your parents, you know, the only relationship they have is telling their son off, or, you know, and that's awful. You know, get them so that they can reward them. Say well done. Say how proud you are of them. Just say it every day. It makes a huge difference to the boys' self-esteem.
And Trevor Lloyd mentioned earlier the importance of communication skills in the boys entering your school. So obviously, you know, it's all about the relationship and spending time with them, developing those skills. Yeah. But I think a big, big tip that I'm going to take is the one about reading to them with them, especially
Dad
doing it is great.
Yeah,
it's great to hear
reading.
That, isn't it? That dad should read with and to. Let's make
your
difference.
Favorite book. What's your favorite book? Let the boys see. You know, mine's 1984, because you can lose yourself in it. And, you know, and it's those. And my son, interestingly, we got him into Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which he loves. And now he's into The World of Norm, and he's really into those. And what's good is that he can read books and books of those, and he feels like he's achieving, because there's pictures in it. And so he reads 250 pages. He feels like, you know, he's off to Cambridge next
Fantastic.
Week.
That's great. That's interesting. And that's why, I mean, this is one thing I discovered recently. Like, a friend of mine has a Wii in her house. And if you have something like that, it leaves so little margin for reading time. You know, there's so little time where there's nothing to do. Yeah. But like, if you have that kind of thing in your house, we don't yet. And I know it's only a matter of time. But I was thinking, how am I ever going to fit reading in with that? Because I don't know how the balance is struck.
But again, routine at night time. It's 7 o'clock upstairs. It's 7:30 bath. It's 8 o'clock reading. 8:30 lights out. It's a routine the boys get into. You know, my son, he plays rugby on a Tuesday, does football on a Thursday. Tonight, I've just been there. Saturday he plays football. Sunday he plays rugby. Wednesday he has a tutor. Monday he swims. Friday. You know, but every night he has an Xbox, he has all that. He never plays it because we're always doing stuff. We're playing rugby, we're throwing the ball around. You know, our front, the funniest thing is the head of geography at my school gave me a globe, a blow up globe. And I went in to make a cup of tea, and my son was playing football with my daughter with the globe. And I was just, you know, that is it in a nutshell. You know, they were kicking about a football. I took a photo and sent it, and he laughed. But, you know, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. David Bullock, thank you so much for joining us on The Parent Show this evening.
Thanks for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
It's been, a pleasure talking to you. And we're going to put some of those behaviour management tips that you gave up on the up on our Facebook page, and I am going to learn them.
If you like, yeah.
I can. Are they going to be on the fridge? We need them turned in the fridge,
Mike.
And
then you can maybe put them onto, I could send you it in a sort of a document if you like.
Fantastic. That's great. Lovely. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much to our fantastic guests tonight, Trevor Lloyd from the Boys Development Project and David Bullock from Verulam School in St Albans.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.